Does everybody see the notification?
Yes, we do, Sherry. Thank you so very much.
Yes.
Okay. We do have a quorum, John.
Sherry, thank you. I show 1:33 on my clock, and if you could call roll, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, everyone is on the phone, of course. Myself, Sherry Schaefer, Mr. Ross Atkinson, Chief Doug Fournier, Mr. John Rockwell, Mr. Greg Eubank, Mr. Travis Comet, Agent Mike Lawton, Mr. Scott Nelson, Mr. Jim Goodman, Mr. David Reed, Mr. Nate Skinner, Mr. Chris Letterman, Mr. Paolo Calderon, Mr. Henry Cole, Ms. Naomi Ulrich, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien, Senior Airman Chasen Carrier, Ms. Erin Calwara, Mr. Sean Kostelnik, Mr. Dave Jones, Chief Pete Mlynarek, Mr. Bruce Richter, Mr. Dan Monteleone, Chief Bob Ciccarella. Is there anybody else whose name I have not called?
Yeah, this is Rick Williams from U.S. Army Alaska. I'm participating on Teams.
Thank you. Anyone
Scott's
else?
Done.
Scott, thank you. Anyone else, please? Okay, that concludes the roll call.
Thank you, ma'am. And I'd like to welcome everybody to the first meeting of the 2021, so Happy New Year. At this point, I would like to review and approve the December 2020 meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody had a chance to review them. If there are any adds, changes, or questions, please bring them up at this time. Hearing none, I entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
This is Dan Molly. I want to make a motion to approve.
Thank you, Dan. And a second, please.
Scott Nelson, seconds.
Thank you, Scott. Hearing no discussion, meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to the next two items is the review of the issues and risk log and the December action item list. Sherry, would you be so kind to give us an update on those two items?
Yes, for the issues and risk log, we are waiting on an appointment letter for the federal non-DOD DOI alternate and primary positions. Mr. Tim Boyd from the National Park Service is supposed to be appointed as the new alternate, and Mr. Ross Atkinson from BLM Alaska Fire Service is supposed to be appointed as the new primary. So once we get that appointment letter, we will get that to the Executive Council for approval. For the action item status, the user council was to develop a transition policy regarding the timeline for the replacement of the non-TDMA radios after the life cycle briefing to the Executive Council. That is still open because the Executive Council will not meet until the 21st.
Thank you very much, Sherry. And Scott, are you going to give us an update during your time slot? Would you like to give an update regarding this action item?
You're talking about the briefing that Motorola will be providing at the Executive Council?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the short of it is they've been meeting internally about it. We've had that one meeting with them kind of to give them the kind of the scope of what we're looking for in that presentation. Motorola's been meeting internally to put that together and are hoping to have a draft to us today that, or this week, that we will be able to meet with them early next week and make sure us, the Muni, and the DOD are all in agreement with what's going to be said and briefed at the Executive Council meeting.
And make sure that I'm not talking out of hand, Scott. The action item that we have that to develop a transition policy regarding the timeline and replacement of non-TDM radios, is that part of that transition strategy and report to the Executive Council?
No, that is a different topic. So the briefing with Motorola and the owner partners was more to identify, make sure everybody clearly understands what funding requirements and technology upgrades are needed to occur. Just as an obvious example, the state is in the process of replacing the Quantars with GTRs, and part of that project includes the next upgrade, past 717. The state and the Muni at this point have not awarded a contract with Motorola to upgrade past 717. So it's just kind of clearly laying that step out. The action item to kind of put the policy together for the timeline to transition radios to TDMA, that was more of a, there is a policy right now that requires any new radios to be TDMA ready. What we haven't done is put together some kind of policy that has a timeline for when you need to get the radios, the old radios replaced with radios that are TDMA.
Well, Scott, I appreciate the update, and it's very apparent that I took a long vacation during the holidays because I thought they were kind of part and parcel to the two, and I didn't remember talking about a life cycle briefing or timeline for the non-TDMA radios. And it appears that we have an action item to present some type of schedule to the Executive Council for that. I'm not sure if Chris Letterman, if you are available or able to kind of give us an update on where we are and if we will be ready by the next EC meeting.
Hi, John. This is Chris. Drafting of that transition policy has really not happened in any, qualified effort. We've been conjoined these two with the transition on the life cycle side of things as a way to, I think, first inform the Executive Council and then move into discussion more than offering a policy at this point in time. I think there's several points to consider that I think the EC should weigh in on before the user council has a policy before them to, and that's just my opinion. It's just we had quite a few conversations in December around budgetary timelines for the municipalities and local governments, and taking that in regard with the system upgrade just seemed like it seemed like a good idea to sort of batch those things together. I could be wrong, and if that's the case, just give me some slight correction here.
Well, thank you again for the update. Now, I think that both of you are right on where this is a more of an evolution discussion with the EC, that we won't be ready until we have a little bit of budget doc with them and upgrade strategy. So I anticipate this action item staying on the books until second quarter EC meeting. And once we talk to them about the kind of the transition of the upgrades and the budget, then we'll get some more direction to be able to provide them more detailed information and hopefully a policy. So thank you both very much for an update on that. Moving on to the next agenda item, I see Operations Management Office Overview. Chris, if you want to take that, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Welcome to 2021, everyone, and good afternoon. I'm going to walk through my bullet list here And I will pause for questions. I've been accused of just kind of walking through the bullet list a little too quickly. So I will pause. If there's any questions, please speak up. The first one is sort of a lingering item, just the service level agreement that was put together most of the last half of 2020. We're just updating the council that we are waiting for the AFEA signature for that to be finalized. So any questions on that? Okay. My next topic there is the interoperability zones and the talk groups. Primarily, this is a reminder that the dispatch consoles will be reprogrammed remotely on January 20th. We decided, after some internal discussion and some input from Muni, that between the 9 to noon hours, of January 20th will be the best time frame for us to push that out. I've learned from the SMO technicians that there's really this is almost going to be an instantaneous change. So as soon as the guys enter it into the system, it will propagate out to the consoles, and most folks will see it automatically update. They may need to log out. The dispatchers may need to log out, log back in to get the names changed. But for the most part, it's going to be a very quick change. And we wanted to make sure that we did this during, you know, kind of prime time where we had staff here in the office at the help desk that could also assist if anything should go awry. We don't expect anything would, but just kind of a fail safe and a back out. One of the other things that I'd like to share is that we're working on some what we're calling smart cards. These are going to be distributed out to the console dispatch folks probably within the next week. These are kind of, I guess you could call them quick reference cards, and we'll also make these available on the website so anyone can download them if they need them. Might be a good thing to, you know, put in a backpack or a shirt pocket or something, or tape to the back of the radio for the time being until everyone gets their code plugs changed. Any questions on the interoperability zone and talk group item? Okay, moving on. Just an update to the council, the ALMR logo contest. We have received some submissions from folks, and I appreciate everyone that participated in this. We will be providing those to the executive council, and the idea is for them to sort of take these concepts, rank them, and then we will feed those back to our design contractor, which is Hope Designs, for finalization of a concept and maybe a couple of variants that the executive council can make a final determination on. So, and that's that. Any questions on the local contest? Okay. This next bullet's going to be somewhat lengthy. This is just a summation of outreach things that have been going on. Those of you that have been on these user council meetings since I've come on in July know that I had a working outreach project to contact all of the agencies on the system by the end of the year. Well, I think I had initially thought I would get that done in August, and that didn't happen. I'm happy to report that all the local agencies have been contacted. My focus now will be working on the state agencies this first quarter, and then I will have either talked or left messages for everyone that is a user on the ALMR system. And I do appreciate everyone that has been willing to talk to me and give me your insights and your feedback. That's all going into our outreach survey. The next point is the coverage and prioritization survey. We were given this as an action item, and at this point, I'm just going through it to summarize, because the comments were, as you may imagine, kind of all over the map. And so trying to present that back to the council is going to be, in its current format, would be a little difficult. So I'm just working on a better way to kind of summarize the feedback that we did receive through that, and we'll have something for the next UC meeting in February. Another component of outreach is our training. I wanted to give everyone an update. On the last quarter of 2020, we successfully delivered two in-person trainings. These have been recorded, and those trainings have been posted to the website, the new website, I should say. For those of you that haven't been out to look at the new website, I would invite you to do that. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself there. We are having a meeting tomorrow with our training partner, Joe Quickle, to help us sort of strategize a 2021 training plan. Now, this is probably going to be quarter focused, with a topic or a couple of topics per quarter. And the idea is just to work out the plan for the entire year. And once we have a straw man or a draft, we will post that training plan. And of course, I offer anyone on the council to give me feedback. I took a lot of feedback when I was making the initial calls, and that's what went into ALMR 101 and the ALMR 102 courses. So please do, if you have something in the back of your mind that you think would be a good training topic, get that to me or get that to Sherry. The last point that I have under my outreach category, and this may be something that the SMO and manager, Travis Conant, might talk to, is Fire Station 12 and Bailey Hill. I think we mentioned before we were exploring the idea of turning down some channels. Travis, did you want to talk about that under your section?
Yeah, I can, or I can do it now, either way.
Okay. Then I'll just keep going.
Sounds good.
Okay. Any questions on the outreach activities of the OMA? Okay. The next bullet item is the website. The new website went live on Sunday, December 27th. We do hope that you will take a look at it, go out, sort of noodle around. We are always looking for constructive feedback, and if there's things that you think are missing, let us know. I did want to give a quick rundown of some of the benefits of this new platform. It's a modern web responsive design that works really well on mobile, laptops, iPads, etc. It has embedded media playing capabilities, so you'll notice that videos and recordings from the user council and the executive council will play in the web page. You don't have to download the file and go somewhere else. So that's pretty nice. And then the last thing that I wanted to kind of stress, which is something that's almost taken for granted on some web pages, we now have indexed search of posts and contents of the website. So that means that every document that we have posted is now being OCR'd in the background, and it's being indexed for keywords. And so you can go to the search bar and you can type in pretty much anything, and you'll get results almost instantaneously. So I think it will be a much more informative website for the council and for anyone else wanting to learn more about ALMR. Okay, any questions on the website? All right. Just a note that our typical OMO annual reports will be sent out to the council members via email after this meeting for approval. We do want to emphasize that we would like to see your response so that we can get these out to the EC by their meeting date, which is January 21st. So that means kind of a tighter turnaround maybe than in the past. So a couple of weeks, please take a look at those reports and respond timely. Any questions on annual report? Okay. Just a quick rundown on the December work that the OMO did relative to the document reviews. We reviewed the security controls, policy and procedure, the radio usage and transmission protocols, policy procedure, system account control, policy and procedure, the system vulnerability management policy and procedure, the roles and responsibilities, and the system description documents. Any questions on the document reviews for December? Okay, coming into the home stretch here with our December system metrics. For group calls, we had 1,071,383. That's down 53,000, roughly, group calls from the 2020 January figure. For push-to-talks, we had 1.9 million, and that is down 87,000 from our 2020 January figure of just over 2 million. For the busies, this December period, we had 212. That is an increase of 39 over January of 2020. And then finally, the subscriber count for December, we ended the year with 23,057, which was an addition of 97 subscriber units over November. And if there's no questions about the metrics, John, I give the floor back to you, sir.
Right. Thank you so very much, and for everything that you do for the Last Ride Mobile Radio cause. I was looking at the website, and I want to say that it's looking great. I've been through all the different tabs, drawdowns, and stuff like that, and you've done a great job, so thank you. Thank you for that. Moving on to the next item on the agenda is the System Management Office overview. Travis.
Thanks, John. Since we've been doing the GTR upgrade, I've been working with the state and Motorola. We're kind of looking at each site just to see that instead of just replacing them like for like for the channels and frequencies and the equipment, We're looking at if there's too many channels at a certain site, then maybe we can use those in a different area, possibly a new site, or bring up an additional channel at a site that might need it. That being said, we're looking at Fire Station 12 and Bailey Hill. Fire Station 12 is currently a 10-channel site. It's right in the middle of Anchorage, and there's multiple ALMR sites and AWARN. It's not very utilized for that many channels. We believe we can go down to 6 and still do day-to-day operations with won't be affected. And Bailey hit channel site, and we're looking at going down to 6 on that site. We're bringing that up because we're looking at just turning down those channels for the next couple months to monitor it, just to make sure that we don't have any issues with any of the agencies. And then when we do the GTR upgrade at those sites, then we will finalize that with the state and make that determination if those channels aren't needed. And then we'll let ours accordingly. and then maybe utilize those channels at a new location. So we'll be sending that out at the help desk so you guys know when we're going to start that on turning those down. And then let you know the determination if we're going to go that route. Any questions on that? Okay. The other thing I have is we're working with the TDMA upgrade that we're doing. The band plan on the system level needs to be changed. So we're working with Motorola Engineering. That should be finalized here in the next, hopefully the next week or two, and then we'll be able to push that out globally to the system. There's 16 elements on the band plan. Currently, the FDMA portion will not change. So the radios on the system, the current band plan that are in those FDMA-only radios will still operate as usual. But if you get a new APX and want to use the TDMA function, you will need the new band plan put in to each subscriber. So it's kind of a two-part. There's a global system-wide band plan that needs to be pushed out to all the repeater sites, and also the subscribers will need to be reprogrammed for TDMA with this new band plan for them to work. Again, with the help desk, we'll be sending out notifications daily on when we're going to be pushing the new band plan out to the system. And we'll also be sending out the new band plan to all the agencies once it's finalized by Motorola. We're hoping to get this all done before the 20th of January when we do the other upgrade for the dispatch for the interoperability zones. That way you guys have the new band plan, the new channels, and all that, and can start programming the radios all at one-time deal instead of having to go back and forth. Does anybody have any questions on that?
That's Greg.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just realized we have a APX consulate that's probably going to need to be upgraded to TDMA as well, so I thought I'd bring that up as a discussion point.
Yeah, so any of the APX that you need to do the new flash if it doesn't have that on it for TDMA, and then it will need the new band plan for it to work on TDMA. The elements don't change for FDMA on the current one, so it'll still work on the FDMA platform, but to take advantage of TDMA, you will need the new band plan put in there. Do you have anything to add there, Scott or Nate, on that?
Well, just I think I've said this before, but just a reminder, we're working through. There's a whole lot of work that we're trying to do in support of this $24 million project, one of which is doing a lot of analysis on the tower, and that takes site visits and procuring structural analysis so they can decide if the right much larger and much heavier antennas can go on for TDMA. But the other piece to that is for state and local subscribers, we have as part of that project flash upgrades for a number of APX radios that was kind of the count at the time when we were doing the project. So we've got a list of that. So, and you know, Greg, in the example you gave, that radio should be on that list, and we should be owed a flash upgrade that we could provide to you to be able to put into the radio. And you'll be, each of the agencies, the local or the state agencies, will be contacted by somebody from my office, kind of working. Here's the list of radios we have that were TDMA capable, and then we'll have to work with you to get some information from it, and then provide that to Motorola, and they will then send flash upgrades out to us that would be In the case of state radios, my office would be helping install those. And then in the case of local agencies, however they get their radios supported, they would use that method to get the flash upgrades done and the programming changed.
Yeah, the only thing I need can add is that we've got a lot of programming changes coming up with the talk groups and then the new band plan. So we're definitely a resource for you guys to contact the help desk if you have any questions or concerns, or if there's anything we can help out with, just reach out and let us know. Other than that, John, I don't have anything else.
Travis, thank you so much for that update. Next item on the agenda is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. Scott, do you have anything else that you'd like to add to the discussion?
No, other than we are, as we've discussed before, we lost a lot of people over this last 6 months, that we are still working through recruitment processes, trying to find applicants and fill positions. So we're very short staffed at the moment. So if you are trying to get something from us and it doesn't seem like it's happening quick enough, please ask again, because it could have very well been forgotten or could have been with somebody who's not here anymore. So that's all I have.
Scott, thank you so very much. And from the DOD side, I did not hear Mr. Woodall's name mentioned as an attendee. Can I have someone else from the DOD side give an update, or if there are any updates?
Hey, John, it's Rick. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, so I can't speak for the DOD, first of all, but I can speak for the Army. The Army is implementing WAVE systems at three range control locations over the spring. It was intended to be last summer, but with COVID and the restrictions to movement and all that, doing any type of work has become very, very cumbersome, bearing in mind that we follow not only state and municipality rules, but also different rules for each installation, and enhanced security and health protection measures. So, with this process, we're looking at finishing fully a year behind when we had at first expected. So far as updating all the consoles and replacing our aging handheld fleet of the XTX 5000s. But this is moving forward, along with the transition from MotoBridge to a WAVE server-based radio gateway. So that's good news. More to follow. We expect to finish up April, give or take. And I believe I owe Scott a discussion about power upgrades, but I think that's an offline discussion. So that's the Army update.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Thank you, Rick. Are there any questions for either Rick or Scott at this time? Hearing none, we can move on to new business. One item that we have for new business is the Alaska Statewide Communication Interoperability Plan, or the Alaska SCIP, as we refer to it. And Bruce Richter, I'm going to invite him to talk about this. Also, please note that you have a draft copy or draft copy of the template in your email that Sherry sent out this morning. So, Bruce, at this time, would you like to introduce the new business item.
Hey, John, thank you so much. I'm Bruce Richter with Department of Homeland Security, the now CISA, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. We're still focused on emergency communications as a critical capability at all levels of government. And, Chris, just my congratulations to you. The new website is a great example of communications, and a lot of great information on there. I've been scrolling through that during this meeting, and very good job on that. So anyway, the SAFECOM grant guidance is kind of the uniform guidance across many federal agencies that offer grants to state and local government and public safety agencies, and especially for any of those grants where the agencies are trying to do communications-related things or buy equipment that's communications-related. They are supposed to, they're certifying in their conditions of their grant application that they're in compliance with the SAFECOM grant guidance. Well, one of the elements in the SAFECOM grant guidance is that states have a current and updated state plan, a SCIP. And the last time Alaska got together to revise our plan was 2013. So I thought with the new year, this would be a good time to get a coalition of the willing to take a look at the draft and make it Alaska's own. And we've gotten pretty good at doing this now in a virtual environment. We've done it recently in Oregon, in Washington, and we're able to accomplish that with several one-hour or less teleconferences where we just broke down elements of the plan. And if you look at the template, you'll see it's notably shorter than the old plan. We try to keep the meat of it down to about 10 pages. And really what we're focused on for these shorter teleconference working sessions is the lanes of the interoperability continuum, governance, standard operating procedures, technology, training exercises, usage, and outreach and information sharing and lifecycle funding. And frankly, some of the things that you've already covered in your meeting today would make great short objectives to put in a bigger plan. And kind of keep track of them that way, and that way there are additional justification when agencies are applying for grant funding. And it also gives your SWIC, your Statewide Interoperability Coordinator, man of many hats, John Rockwell, a state plan to kind of weigh some of these grant applications against. So with that, I would propose that if people are interested, I will work through John to set up some blocks of time to invite people to do a Teams type or a call-in type meeting. We will have all of the support putting the document together and capturing the information and generating a draft for you to look at and review and approve. Any questions for me?
Bruce, thank you very much for that introduction. I guess to start out, since we are trying to put this on kind of, I don't want to say the fast track, but we're trying to make sure that we focus on some of the metrics that we'll be including into the document, as well as the current planning phases. Would it be appropriate, and I'm kind of asking the group, including Sherry and Chris, would it be appropriate for the first couple correspondents to just talk about what we're going to do and when we're going to do it to send out to this group as well as some of the other stakeholders?
Someone has a question, yes.
Did you say you had a skip attached to the email this morning? I don't see it.
Yeah, Sherry sent out a document called AK2021/SKIP _draft, and it was sent out this morning. with the meeting minutes and agenda items and things like that. Greg?
All I see is the thing I'm playing with the agenda attached to those.
So I guess back to my question as far as how do we socialize and communicate this and get the right people to help to make sure that we're not doing it in a vacuum, because there's been many years where I've done a quick update truly in a vacuum without reaching out. So Chris or Sherry, would you be willing to help by forwarding emails and stuff to this group to ask for volunteers once we get a timing or schedule put together?
Absolutely, John.
Excellent. I appreciate that. So, yeah, I want to encourage everybody to just kind of look at what some of the topics in the skip are with the new template. If you don't have or can't find and would like to have a copy of the previous, I guess, kind of approved one from 2013, reach out to me and I'd be very happy to send that up to you. Back then, there were some metrics that we were trying to focus on, but a lot of those things, I will be honest, never happened. And so I know we're trying to be more real with this one here. Right, Eubank, do you have a question? Did I think that you're off mute? All right. Well, any other new business to bring up, or do you have any questions for Bruce regarding this topic? Hearing no additional new business, the next meetings are currently scheduled for February 3rd and March 3rd. I would entertain a motion to adjourn. And again, if you have any questions, please feel free to bring them up now before we have a motion. If not, motion to adjourn, please.
Nate Skinner, I move to adjourn.
Thank you, Nate. And a second.
Doug Fournier.
Doug, thank you very much. All right, we're adjourned.
Thank you.